Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Football at 4, and with football at 4, I guess this is the biggest question mark that
I love this music. I don't know why this gets me. It gets me hyped, man.
I know, man. This is from the Godzilla soundtrack.
P. Godzilla. Diddy.
Oh, yeah. It was
That's
it was
Pete
Diddy's song, but if you let other people say it was rock and roll first, but I don't believe that. Whatever.
Shut up, Elvis.
Hey, I want to ask you about something that Mike Pritchard said to me yesterday. Mm. And
how's Pritch doing?
Pritch doing great, man. Pritch is great, man. It was great working with him. I've never worked with him before these years. I've worked on his show. He's been on my show, but we've never actually done a whole show together. So the last couple of days has been special for me because, of course, you know, Pritch is a broadcast great. And he's been doing college football, calling college football games
for a long time.
For years.
That's right.
I mean, for maybe the Denver metro area don't understand who he is as a broadcaster in that respect. But, I mean, he calls a ton of games. I mean, and it's great to work with him.
And he was the first player drafted off our team.
He was. He was the first, and I was the second. CJ, I
Who was the third then? Who was the third?
The third was Canavis.
Oh, being there. I think it was Eric.
Yeah, I think was it Eric?
I think Eric may have been the first player.
I think Canavis went
in the second round.
Was he the?
I think Eric was 32 or 33.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then McGee, I think, right after.
Him. Okay.
But I mentioned the first player. I didn't say who's the. I didn't ask who was the second player. I just said,
I know, but I didn't ask who the third player was.
But I'm saying since you started saying well, I was the second, then well, hell, who's the third? Well, who's
well,
the fourth?
Well, the enemy was third. He was 39. And McGee was 55.
Right. Right.
Pritch was a great player.
What
oh
was
goodness.
Pritch? 9? Was he 9 or 10?
I think 10, 11?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there to the Falcons.
I remember the Dallas Cowboys. I remember Jerry. It was. Who's
13.
The head coach? Jerry. Who was the head coach of the Cowboys?
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson, his whole staff was on campus.
Oh, yeah.
They looked
he
like
He told
a little,
me I was going to be
like
number one.
Gang.
He told me. He asked me if we consider taking you number one, will you negotiate with me and the Cowboys before the draft? I was like, absolutely.
Mm.
I mean, going into the draft, I really thought, you know, oh, boy.
I wish that would have happened.
You better be glad you won that national championship game. Otherwise, that would have been the worst decision of my entire collegiate career
coming
to go back
senior year
without winning a national title. I mean, golly, man, that was a huge gamble. I would never advise somebody who was in my situation during that time period to go back to school.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, there's a first round. If you're a first rounder,
right.
Then it's a big risk in going
huge
back.
Huge risk. Huge. But I love my time at the university, and it was the best time of my life.
Do you realize, you know, it's funny, we're talking about draft day. Do you realize the emotional roller coaster you were on that day?
Yeah, I didn't have a draft party. There was a draft party that was thrown for me, but I didn't go.
You were a complete mess.
I didn't, you know, I wanted to go to the Broncos, man. I wanted to go to the Broncos.
Number 4 overall, right?
I just wanted to play for the Broncos. If they would have had the 10th pick, I would have been the 20th pick. I just wanted to play here in Denver.
So
it was my own selfishness that I thought that I could control that situation. And I thought that, you know, listen to how naive I was. I thought that during the NFL draft, you know, all the years that I had seen it, everybody had got a phone call from the team before they drafted you. So I thought that I had to get a phone call from the Cincinnati Bengals before I said, okay.
Right. Oh,
if they
you thought you
me,
had the right to,
no,
to say
they would,
not
hey,
okay?
Hey, you want to be a Denver, hey, how would you like to be a Cincinnati Bengal? I would have said no. Hey, listen. After I didn't go, I didn't care if I was a second round draft pick to the Broncos.
Stop, man.
You know me. I mean, of all the people in this world, outside of my wife. You know me. And I really thought that you had to receive a phone call from the team. And so
you would have told Cincinnati no?
I would have told him no. So when we were going, this is a great story. When we were going through the negotiations for the NFL contract, I was a holdout, right?
Right.
I was one of the last holdouts in the entire process, right? And so much so that I had a car and I was leasing this car. I took the car back, right? I took the car back because I was like, I'm not playing for them. I'm re-enrolling in school. Now, Peter Schaefer and Lamont Smith, man, God bless them, man. I'm telling you. I said, I'm not, because I went there for the camp, the OTA that we just went through here. I went there for the camp, and I was like, I ain't doing this. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to re-enroll in school and go into the draft next year. So,
and you know what's, I'm going to tell you the funny thing about, the reason I'm laughing is because this is exactly what you thought.
I didn't want it. I just, you know, talk about ungrateful.
So you, because, and I'm trying to recall, it was so long ago. It's amazing how long ago it's been now.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, tell me, when you broke down crying on
that
draft
I went to go do Theory Smith's show and at KDKO, and I promised T that I would do the show.
Right.
No matter where I was drafted.
Right.
And he was so so happy for me, man. He was so happy for me. And, I mean, I absolutely broke down on
air.
You
broke down crying.
I was like, I can't believe this, man.
I mean, you broke down crying.
I couldn't believe I wasn't going to be a Bronco.
It was temper tantrum type of crying.
It was. It was like,
hey, where were those? I couldn't, because I was there. I'm trying to figure out. Were you happy? Was it tears of joy?
No, I was just so
frustrated.
I was so mad. You know, all I could think about was my time at the University of Colorado and all the things that we did to win games and, you know, how I'd outperform Mike Crowell. It was all about being a Bronco. If the Broncos would have been, like, if I could have got drafted in the second round to the Broncos, that would have been okay. I just wanted to be where I wanted to be. You know, so this whole, you know, that goes to show you, man, when you're a young kid and you don't understand what's going on, you know, this league of ours, you know, the last time, if you're a good player, if you're a really good player, the last time that you'll have to pick where you play is in high school.
Yeah.
You know, when you decide where you're going to play college ball, that's the last major decision that you'll have if you're a good football player.
Mm.
Because teams will use the franchise tag on you. They'll hold your rights.
The system is set up that way.
It
right?
is. It is. I don't know if I like the current system. And I think if I was the Players Association and I was still a member, I would ask for the franchise tag to be gone. I'd like to see what free agency would really look like. Could Green Bay still be an 11-win team knowing that their quarterback has the right to go anywhere that they want to? Hey, this is The Drive. We got to talk about Case Keenum next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
It's The Drive, Big Al and D-Mac. D-Mac's out. Oh, wait a minute. This is all open.
This is the OG, the original.
Who is this?
This is Led Zeppelin, Al.
Led Zeppelin.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me Led Zeppelin stole that song from P. Diddy?
Led Zeppelin completely sampled P. Diddy.
Led Zeppelin sampling P. Diddy.
Oh,
CJ, man, it's good having you in studio.
It's good to be here, Big Brother.
I wanted to talk about Case Keenum.
Yes.
and what Pritch said to me yesterday. He said that the reason that he tried to explain away why Paxton Lynch was having a hard time with the plays that were called. And he, what Pritch said to me, I thought was a great statement. He said that Paxton Lynch has to learn Case Keenum's book, his playbook. Okay, instead of it being a bunch of plays that Paxton Lynch wants to run, these are the plays that Case Keenum wants to run. And so it's up to all the backup quarterbacks to learn Case Keenum's book.
Okay.
I thought that was a pretty sharp on Pritch. But then we get out to practice and those plays, you know how you have the blitz beaters and you have the and the quick game, and they were working on the quick game, and Case Keenum was letting the ball flow. I mean every snap ball was boom, boom, boom. I mean it was clean, it was smooth. And then I saw Paxton Lynch execute the same kind of plays, and he was not as sharp, and he led his receivers in NFL games. He would have led his receivers into some big shots, okay, and the ball was thrown late. When you are building a playbook, do you think it's the right thing to do just to cater all the plays to what the starting quarterback likes?
Well, it's not. I don't even think it's that simple, right? It's not.
Why not?
Because it's not. It's just not that simple. You have, again, football is, I look at football as situational, right? And you have to be prepared. Everything's not a quick out play, right? You have quick out packages. If you got a team that's blitz heavy, you know, and they'll leave the back end empty.
One-on-one
bunch
stuff, situations.
Then you want to get it out.
Right.
So
and he did great at those. He did great at those packages.
And you
but
would,
Paxton
you would,
struggled there.
Well, you would expect a seasoned veteran to be good at in those packages. That's he's seen it a million times.
This is what I want.
And this gets back to the challenge I think that Paxton has. I don't think he was a guy who came into the league. I think it's obvious. He's not a guy who came into the league with a high quarterback IQ.
You know, yesterday, what I also realized, though, is that last year we had Mike McCoy saying we're building packages for Paxton. We're building packages for Trevor Siemian. We're building packages for was it also Sanchez?
Another fourth preseason game quarterback.
Not last year,
but yeah, I'm just saying.
But anyway, basically he was building basically two separate playbooks.
Well,
you don't believe in two separate playbooks?
No.
It's what the starter wants. Learn it because these are the plays. But we don't have time to call a whole separate system for receivers and running backs.
Well, you have an offensive philosophy, right? A coordinator brings in an offensive philosophy. You agree that this is what we're going to be offensively, and you have quarterback. Now you can modify, you know, play packages based on the strength of your players. When you say a Paxton package, first thing comes to mind, well, we have to mix some things in to simplify the game for him advantage of his skill set.
Or
right?
It could be just throws that he likes. It could be simple as these are the throws that Paxton Lynch likes.
It's creating situations that he can excel in, right? So if you're Paxton Lynch, what you want, if I'm coordinating Paxton Lynch, I'm going to try and create a situation where the defense gives me a single high. How do you do that? You make Paxton Lynch a threat to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
You make him a threat to run the football. You're not going to do the same thing with Case Keenum.
Gotcha.
Right? He can successfully, at least he's proven over the course at times of the course of his career, and it'll be interesting to see this year. He could have success throwing a ball in against the shell. Right? Paxton is a different game for him. So if he's in the game, you're going to try and create an advantage for him, a package
make
where
the
he can be successful.
Get to one-on-one, and then you can find your receiver and just throw it to your receiver.
Right now. Your pre-snap is
No reading. Hey, they're man-to-man. This guy's running this route. Throw this route.
Exactly. You want to try
you don't have
as
to read
best
nothing.
You can. You want to try as best you can to create that type of look for him so he can be successful. It's the same playbook. I'm modifying it based on the skill set of my quarterback.
Isn't that a nasty word for quarterbacks? Modifying it or simplifying, doesn't it almost indicate that you're not smart enough to know the whole thing?
You're not there yet. And it's okay.
Modify is a dirty word for dumb.
Not if it's successful. Not if you're successful. You know, look, San Francisco modified an offense for a quarterback based on the skill set. They got the Super Bowl and should have won it. They modified an offense based on the skill set and they got Super Bowl. Mm. If it's listen, there are no heroes in this game. Well, we just want to win a football game.
Right, of course.
You can call it modifying. We can call it whatever you want to call it.
I don't like that word. I you know what? I like building a playbook for this guy. This is his playbook.
You can look at it that way.
I like that. I like, you know what? There was a huge disconnect between Bubby Brister and Mike Shanahan years ago because of language that was used like that. Modified. Hmm. We're going to dumb it down. You know, but he didn't know the whole. I remember, you know, Bubby didn't know the whole playbook. Bubby took so much offense to that. That it was a strenuous relationship. So I never like hearing dumb it down or modifying. Though this is his playbook, this is his playbook.
But that's language that you guys in the media use. You don't hear coaches saying I'm gonna dumb it down for my quarterback.
You talking about me?
Yeah. You're in the media, right?
I am.
Okay, so that's language you use. You won't hear VJ talking about dumbing it down.
I don't say dumb it down. I just told you I don't like that. I don't like those words
Who says it then? Who says dumb it down? Who uses that language?
When coaches say that I have a different playbook for Paxton than I do for Case Keenum.
You interpret that as dumb it down.
No, it's just different. To me, I look at it as different.
Exactly. It's different based on the skill
sets. Pared down. You could call it pared down. You could call it, you know, searching to make sure that you always have a single high situation. It's
you can even
different.
Say we're going
to
take out the hard plays for you. I mean, how many different ways can we say the same thing over and over and over? Just nicer words.
Look, man, we're going to take a break. This is the drive.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. You guys are amazing, bro. Yeah.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Well, the question was asked, who is Case Keenum? Mm.
I want to know.
I feel good about Case Keenum. I feel good about what the Denver Broncos can be. You know, I started the season off when we acquired Case Keenum saying at the bare minimum we have 8 wins. Okay, so I said 8 wins at a bare minimum.
Okay.
And I said that 10 and I said that I think that we are a 10-16 once we were done with the draft, 10-6. After the draft and assessing this team, what we've done as far as free agency, the NFL draft, and the addition of coaches on this coaching staff, I moved my number to 12-4. I know that's aggressive for some, but I think that...
Wait, what
happened?
Come again? What'd you say?
So I said 12-4 is what I'm looking for this Denver Bronco football team. Now, I could back down to 11-5, but I really think that when we take the field, there will be very few teams who are as talented as us on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Wow. And special teams, with Marquette King coming on board and a better a punt return and kick return game, we are a much better team.
12-4? Look, bro,
where didn't we get? Where is our weakness right now?
Listen, I know it's legal, but it doesn't mean you have to partake. 12-4?
That's what I've been saying.
Now, let me ask you this. You ask the question. You start the segment by asking the question, who is Case Keenum? Right? Now, we know how important that position is in this league. Just look at the division. How would you rank or rate the 4 starting quarterbacks in this division?
We have 1 Hall of Fame player, and the rest are journeymen.
So you put Case in the same. So you say Case
is the same as Derek Carr.
Is the same as Derek Carr.
Absolutely. There's no difference between Case Keenum and Derek Carr. As a matter of fact, I think Case Keenum is a better player.
Really?
Yes, I do. So I think he's better than Patrick Mahomes over in Kansas City. So I think that it's going to be a race between the Chargers and the Broncos who wins the AFC West.
Wow. Now, here is what...
Wow me. What do you mean?
Just wow, man.
Why?
Because you're just spouting off stuff. I mean, it's not...
What do you mean, spot?
You're not giving, like, a logical basis for that. Yeah, I just think he's better than that guy, so 12-4.
Let me tell you what we had last year. We had last year a quarterback who had a 73.3 quarterback rating, mm-hmm. who threw for 12 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Last year, Case Keenum had 22 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. We were minus 2 at the quarterback position. Case Keenum comes in plus 15, mm-hmm. just throwing the football.
Yeah.
Okay, so that to me, plus 15 versus a guy who was minus 2, you got to give me 3 games. Well, you got to give me at least 3 games if things just pan out the way that they did last year.
Listen, what I'm hearing you say when you make those kinds of comparisons is if this Denver Broncos team can mimic what Case Keenum had around
sure,
him in
use
Minnesota.
Your fancy word. Yeah, mimic. Go ahead.
What are you talking about, man?
Go ahead.
If they could mimic that, right? If they could be, if this defense could be what it was a few years ago, one of the top 2 defenses in the National Football League, top 3 defenses in the National Football League, where you look at Case Keenum's numbers a year ago, Case Keenum was protected by a great defense. They ran the football. He had 22 touchdown passes against 7 interceptions. I love those numbers.
That's right.
But what it tells me is that you're not throwing a ball 55 times a game because you're down 21-10 in the third quarter.
No, you're not.
Okay, so
Stay with the sticks.
I'm with you. If this team, it's not about Case Keenum versus who the quarterback was a year ago.
Our quarterback last year that is with us now had a 98.3% 98.3 rating versus the quarterback that was here that had a 73.3 rating.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know what? When you put an average quarterback on an island and asking him to bail you out game after game, it's not going to look good.
Our quarterback last year had 33 sacks. Case Keenum had 22 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everything is better. I'm telling you that we've gotten better, and we won't suffer through another year of incompetency in special teams.
Well, again, all those things you're talking about will contribute to making the quarterback position better.
That's right.
Right. If you defend better, your quarterback is going to be better. If you run the ball better, your quarterback is going to be better. If your offensive line performs better, your
when
quarterback is going to be better.
When the ball comes out of the quarterback hands quicker, the offensive line is better.
That contributes as well.
Everything that I'm telling you is that these are the things that we've seen in OTAs. These are the things that we've seen in minicamp. These are the things that I believe in. I believe that we will look at a quick passing game. Now, when we look at Case Keenum, at least when I look at Case Keenum, I'm looking at somebody who plays the game from the shoulders up, okay? That's where he's playing this game. He knows what he likes. This guy knows football. He knows the passing game. If there's no other part of football that he knows, then you got to assume that this guy is a master of the passing game.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Case Keenum had an incredible year last year. Right?
The Minnesota Vikings had an incredible year. Not Case in particular.
Okay.
He had a solid year, but the team had a great year.
All right. Now you're actually making more sense now. How would you assess his career? When you think of Case Keenum, because you're talking about Case in a singular case, last year, over the course of his career, anecdotally, forget it. Don't put your
sure.
readers on, man, and start looking at numbers all that's confusing. Just when you say Case Keenum, what comes to mind? How would you assess his career?
Journeyman.
Okay. If that hasn't changed, then what we're saying is...
No, I think, but once again, you asked me to look at his career.
Yeah.
I would also say that you've had coaches who didn't understand how to get the best out of him. I think there's a symbiotic relationship with play callers and quarterbacks. And those that are great... You know, if you get time to ramp up, okay, the young quarterbacks that are given a little bit and then given a little more and then given a lot later on in their careers, they seem to end up working out great. The guys that I think of immediately are Ben Roethlisberger, who was given a very small package, okay? His package of plays were not very complicated. They depended on a great run game and a great defense. And then another guy I think about in the same category is Tom Brady. Great defense and a strong running game. But look at where
Go ahead.
Don't use Tom Brady's name.
I'm using Tom Brady. I'm using Ben Roethlisberger as case samples of how you develop a quarterback. You run the football. You play great defense, and you ask the quarterback to do a few things.
No, wait a minute. Their greatness. I don't know what you're talking about. Their greatness is defined by moments in which it wasn't a great defense. They were great at the.
Open your mouth and say it.
Don't interrupt me, dude. Their greatness is defined by how great they were in the biggest moments. And it wasn't, when Tom Brady went, why am I even having this conversation with you? When Tom Brady went 12 for 14 in a fourth quarter against the best defense in the National Football League, his defense in the Super Bowl.
When are we talking about Seattle.
Okay.
You talking
in
about
the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Oh, okay. You saying where he eventually got to. Because that's not how he started. When we come back, I'm going to give you those numbers.
This is unbelievable.
From Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger.
I told you I'm
when they
talk
were
quarterback
young. No.
I'm not going to do this.
No.
You don't know what you're talking
you
about.
You need to hear these numbers when we come back.
It's The Drive with Big Alan Dmac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to The Drive. You know, all these conversations, I'm glad, you know.
Hey, man.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm 40. Is that when that happens?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Wow.
Hey, I want to ask you about something, man. Your perception of quarterbacks and who they were when they were young, I think is skewed. I want to give you who Ben Roethlisberger, maybe the greatest rookie year besides Dan Marino's rookie year where he went to the Super Bowl, maybe the second best rookie year of all time. Ben Roethlisberger, at age 22, threw the ball for 2,621 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He had 17 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. He threw the ball for 187 yards per game. Okay?
Okay.
They were 13-0 that rookie year. Tom Brady at age...
Wait, what do you mean 13-0?
13-0. Big Ben was 13-0.
Okay, so he was 13-0 as a starter.
As a rookie.
Okay.
But a great defense, a great running game, throw the ball for 186 yards a game.
Prescription for success right
okay.
there.
Okay. Stick with me, okay? Tom Brady's first year as a starter. Tom Brady went 11-3.
Okay.
First year as a starter. Okay, Tom Brady threw the ball for 28-43. Okay, 189 yards per game.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady had 18 touchdowns and 12 interceptions.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's given to them lightly early on. Now let's fast forward to 2017. Who these guys are in 2017. Now, in 2017, Ben Roethlisberger, numbers last year, he was 12-3 last year, and he threw the ball for 4,251 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for touchdowns, he had 28 touchdowns and 14 interceptions.
Okay.
More trust, more playbook, more everything, 283 yards passing per game. That's over 100 yards different from what he was as a rookie. That's growth. That's handling a guy and putting him in a situation early and letting him get to it.
It's a logical progression,
okay?
Right?
Exactly.
Right.
When you have the right mindset, run the ball, play great defense, and let the quarterback grow in his packages as he gets older.
Sure.
Tom Brady last year, league MVP.
Mm-hmm.
League MVP.
Three-time league MVP.
Fast forward to him, 4,577 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and an average of 286 yards a game.
Yeah, arguably the GOAT, right?
Arguably the GOAT. 286 yards a game as a veteran, savvy veteran, league MVP, 189 yards a game as a first-time starter.
Yeah.
There is a way that you handle quarterbacks when they are young. And you know what? Not all people understand that there is a little bit of growth every year until you get to that 5,000 yards passing a year.
Wait a minute. Is that the goal? I thought the goal was just winning football games.
Yeah, but
I don't need a 5,000 yard pass.
Hold on.
Your boy in Detroit, he threw for 5,000 yards.
Hold on. Let me explain my thought process behind this. You give a little bit until the guy understands concepts. He understands defenses. He understands his offense as well as he understands the other team's defense. This is the formula. The problem with NFL football and the problem with Mike McCoy last year is that he tried to take a quarterback in Trevor Siemian, who is a 185-yard passer, and move him all the way to 285 yards per game. You don't do that with young players. It takes them a couple of years to learn how to play. And with Case Keenum this year, I expect the exact same thing. I expect for Case Keenum to be in that 200 and, you know, call it 240, 250 yards passed in a game, and we're going to run the football for 120, 140 yards a game. We're going to get our 390 that way, and we're going to play great defense. That's the way you win in this league. But later on, maybe in 3 years or 4 years from now, when Case Keenum has really shown that he is up to snuff with the passing game and the running game, then we look at Case Keenum going for 5,000 in 3 or 4 years.
Listen, Al. I don't get this fascination you have with 5,000.
It's
a number.
You know what
number,
5,000 means to
what
me?
What does it mean?
5,000 to me means that you will not load the box on us. You will not move your safety in a drop-down position and try to take away our run game because I'm going to slice you up all
over. Is that
what
it means?
That's what it means to me.
I'll tell you what I hear when I hear 5,000. In most cases, my defense wasn't very good, and I had to throw the ball a lot.
The exact opposite.
I had to throw the ball
No. When Tom Brady threw for 5,000, was it because his defense
didn't? We're talking about the GOAT.
What about when Drew Brees threw for 5,000? Does that mean
his defense wasn't very good?
Okay, dude.
Wasn't very good. It means that we are playing. We're always playing behind the sticks.
What's the number for you then for a quarterback?
Is it 12, 13 is the number.
Okay, I like that. I like 12 or 13.
Yeah,
those are the wins.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. If I have a great defense, you always start with a great defense.
I always start with a great running game.
Okay. And here's the thing. There is a relationship between all these phases of football, right? In order to be able to commit to a great running game, it requires some patience offensively. In order to be patient offensively, you can't be behind two touchdowns midway through the third quarter, so your defense has
Got
to
that
be
right.
pretty good.
Got that right.
Right? You can't be giving up explosion plays on special teams.
Got that right.
So there's a relationship between all these phases of football.
But you cannot be minus two as a quarterback either. You cannot throw 12 touchdowns and throw 14 interceptions. You can't be minus two there.
Totally agree with you.
Okay, you can't win. You can't play winning football when your quarterback is minus two.
How do you stay out of situations where your quarterback's not minus two?
You run the football. You play the possession game. A punt is not the worst thing in the world. And what I've learned through my research, fourth down.
through
my research, fourth down is not an automatic kicking opportunity. The Philadelphia Eagles last year had the most fourth downs converted in all of the NFL at 17 last year. They won the Super Bowl. We got to stop looking at fourth down as an automatic kick situation.
I don't know that we're saying something different, but what I will tell you,
I just say it more passionate than you do.
what I will say is you're right. You know, a punt isn't a
fourth down does not mean punt
isn't a four letter word, right?
a punt is a four letter word.
It's not a four letter word.
unless, but again, if you're down midway through the third quarter by two touchdowns, a punt is a four-letter word. You're giving up possession. You can't score now. If I'm up two touchdowns, yeah, be conservative. Punt the football. Defend. Play to the strength of your team.
All I'm saying, CJ, is this. I think that we have upgraded our quarterback position by at least plus 15.
That's what I'm
telling you.
You did not upgrade your quarterback by plus 15.
We have upgraded our quarterback position by plus 15 at a bare minimum.
That's ridiculous.
At a bare minimum.
So you're saying... So what you're saying is you expect to get out of case.
Plus 15 of where we were last year at a bare minimum.
I tell you what.
On our offensive unit will be a plus 15 of where we were last year. And you know what that will put us? Minus 2.
Here's the deal.
That'll put us at minus 2. We were minus 17 last year as a team last year. We're talking about offense, defense, and special teams, okay? Take away, plus minus take away. We were minus 17. Case is at least 15 better than that with this offense and this defense and this new special team.
And if
we can get to plus 3, plus 4 on the year,
you'll be a lot better. You'll be a lot better football team.
I'm saying that we're going to win 11, 12 games.
But you don't just get there, right? You're saying
there's
like,
a formula, though. Don't turn the ball over. Don't go minus 2 at the quarterback position. Don't give up 6 muff punts. Don't do those things, and you got a shot.
That's exactly right.
And I think that's what Case Keenum brings to the Denver Broncos.
Well, it's not about Case Keenum.
That's what he does.
You better be better at right tackle.
Valdir is way better.
You better be better at left guard.
We're going to be. Right? Leary is way better.
Listen.
We are so much better. See, that's what I'm saying. Maybe you are a non-believer. Maybe you are... Like a lot of people out there.
There's not a bigger Broncos fan in this town right now than your boy, okay?
Than me?
Than your boy, CJ.
You're a non-believer because I think Valdir at right tackle is going to help us out. Whatever we do at right guard is going to be better than we had last
year. This isn't about believing anything. I'm talking about the
savvy veterans that we have and the game that they play leads to better outcomes on offense. And you know what? And having real competition at the punt return position, the kick return position, is a good thing for the Denver Broncos.
There's no question about it.
Philip Lindsay may end up being a huge, huge acquisition for us because I saw something yesterday that I just shook my head a little bit because I wasn't sure what I was watching. And I saw one bobble, you know, where the ball actually hit McKenzie. And it popped up in the air just a half a second. You know what? Immediately, I was like, you know what?
Get him out of there.
That's what I was thinking.
Get him out of there.
You know what?
I know exactly
let's see the next guy. And Philip Lindsay was catching them all. You know what I'm saying? And he can be our third down running back. Philip Lindsay may be the steal of this year's NFL offseason.
The fact that Philip Lindsay did not get an invite to the combine, first of all, was criminal in and of itself. The guy was a 3-year starter, major producer at CU. He should have been high on that list. I don't know how the hell they screwed that one up, whoever did. But it ended up playing to the Broncos' favor. They get a guy in free agency who I agree with you. I saw him out there with my own two eyes Tuesday. And I'm telling you, this kid is not only going to make this team, he's going to be a major contributor on this team. He is a football player.
Yes, he is. And he can do a lot. And, you know, the explosion plays that we can create on offense and mismatches with guys like Isaiah McKenzie in the passing game. I'm excited about that. And what we can mix in with Royce Freeman as a pass receiver. You know, I see so much more offense out of the OTAs and practice so far this year than we showed all last year with the exotic Mike McCoy offense.
And we still haven't talked about these young receivers that I think.
And the jump balls,
this,
man.
This Cortland Sutton kid is going to be off the charts.
You know who he reminds me of? Alvin Harper. Mm. The old Dallas Cowboy wide receiver.
University of Tennessee.
That's right. All Troy Aikman did was throw him the deep jump balls.
That's the wide receiver that the Cowboys took over Pritch.
That's exactly right. That's right.
Took him over Pritch.
The jump ball wide receiver, the 50-50 guy.
But Al.
We have that guy.
But listen, man, you do this all the time. You do this all the time.
I'm making a case for 12-4.
You need to keep your powder dry, man.
I'm just saying, but you haven't told me why my 12-4 isn't correct.
It's just, it's lofty. It's flighty. It's...
What do you want me to do? You want me to say you want me to say we're going to go 8-8?
You know, I mean, you can make a case. You can make a case for 12-4 if all things cut, you know, the way, you know, the right way. I see
think
a team
Case Keenum is
going to
be that good for us. Man, look at how bad we were in the plus-minus, man. Minus 17,
CJ,
that's man.
That's what five-win teams do.
That's right. That's what losing teams do,
right.
Minus 17.
Right.
Okay? Our quarterback is so much better than that. Our quarterback last year went minus 2 for the year. That's not good. That's really bad. That's really bad. That's a bad, bad, bad year, man.
No question about it.
Minus 2? Let's break even and say I had as many touchdowns as interceptions.
You are going to be better.
Golly.
At the quarterback position.
15 better. 15 better.
And you see 12-4.
I see 12-4.
Al, you misled Broncos country on three quarterbacks.
Don't hate right
that
now.
We talked about.
Don't hate. Call yourself the biggest Bronco fan out there. Don't hate right now.
I'm not hating, but I want to add a little bit of, you know, sobriety to this conversation, bro. You just I don't know what the hell you're doing. I don't know why you do it. I don't know why you come on here, man, again, and just you do it every year.
You needed the numbers. I gave you the numbers. Now,
what numbers?
You don't like the numbers.
What numbers?
I gave you the plus-minus ratio. I gave you the turnover ratio, and you still don't like it.
I do like it. We will be better.
I gave you the case
for 12-4.
It's why this team is going to
be better. But no, you didn't make a case for 12-4.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, man? Let's get to Stinkwin, and he can tell us about a veteran who can really help us.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
I love the fact that the Denver Broncos have essentially admitted we need a DeMarcus Ware to help us manage our pass rushers. We need that knowledge. We need that expertise. We need that nuance to be coached to our players so they can benefit from the knowledge of a guy like DeMarcus Ware. And that, to me, is, again, another signal that this Broncos team understands where it failed, where it has failed, and they're pointing to those failures and saying, we're going to rectify those things. There are a lot of coaching staffs that have too big an ego to let a guy that has that much knowledge come in and circumvent the authority of the other coaches. Not the Denver Broncos. They're like, we're going to do whatever we need to do to make this team right, to make this team better. And I'll tell you this, Von Miller, he needs a DeMarcus Ware. He needs a guy to hold him accountable. He needs a guy that he'll listen to when he says, hey, man, you can't jump off sides in this critical series. If you do, I'm going to put my foot up your can. That's what they need. This is an exceptional move by the Denver Broncos, and I can't wait to see DeMarcus Ware get his whistle in his mouth.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.